Hello and a very warm welcome to Section D, Monocle 24's dedicated weekly design show. I'm your host, Josh Fennett. This week we're embracing the summer stereotype of Brits abroad and packing our bags for sunny Spain. First up, we head to the Alhambra Palace in Granada to visit the 13th Spanish Biennial of Architecture and Urbanism.
We were expecting in these 2 years a different approach to architecture because the time is changing, so the approach to architecture is changing.
Next, we make a break for the Basque region of northern Spain to discover the newfound confidence of the frontier's furniture makers. We also alight in Galicia for a peek at the headquarters of the fashion brand Inditex, owner of Zara, among others, in A Coruña. Finally,
the color, they have the spirit of you, of course, but it's not for always. Like love, like life, like everything, it's not for always. It's for the moment.
To Ibiza for some FaceTime with a Balearic fashion icon. All that to come on Section D, right here on Monocle 24. And now over to today's talented toreador of a host, it's Mr. Liam Aldous.
Everywhere you look, Spain is taking pause for reflection. Economic businesses are retooling, politicians are tediously trying to form a functioning government, and legions of strapping young Spaniards are reimagining their plans for the future. The period of economic and political flux has filtered into the design community too, with the lion's share of flashy, grand-scale projects of yesteryear now untenable. Architects, designers, and fashion brands have scaled down instead. It's had a levelling effect of sorts. Suddenly, design talent residing outside of Barcelona and Madrid are shaping the country's design panorama. To talk about the virtues of going small, I went south to an unlikely place, the Alhambra. This year, Granada's grandiose millennium-old Palace of the Peace played host to the 13th Spanish Biennale of Architecture and Urbanism, and I breezed into town on a 40-degree day to find out why the focus for 2016 was alternatives.
We were expecting in these 2 years a different approach to architecture because the time is changing, so the approach to architecture is changing.
On the sidelines of the award ceremony for this year's Biennale, I'm speaking to co-director Begoña Díaz Ugorri.
This is a very important part of our idea of alternatives. This means that it's not something related with the scale or with the budget. It's something related with a special sensibility from the architecture to the context, to the city, and to the existing qualities of the city. And we have found really beautiful interventions in terms of this very selective approach. And these don't have to be big-scale projects.
Obviously, that's a result of the financial crisis that Spain has gone through. Do you really think it's shaken Spanish architecture to its core as well and really forced it to go back to more practical, functional, smaller scale architecture rather than the big stadiums and what have you?
Well, this is something that happened before in Spain. Spain has had the cycle of architecture, and in the times where the resources are not so big, the creativeness and the talent of the architecture arises, and we can see the essential part of the architecture.
Of the 449 projects submitted to the jury, just 20 were chosen, but a recurring theme of saving the proverbial furniture seems to be gripping the country. From refurbished residences to the revival of an ancient cliffside walking bridge, architects have been looking back to the past to address future design challenges.
To be part of a Biennale that is mainly driven through concepts and ideas and not to people, not to studios, which is quite a common thing in architecture, to talk about the authorship and people and not about the idea, the subject, the construction, so what we do.
Girona-based studio Bosch Capdeferro was among the 20 finalists, recognised for their work on the Scaffold House, perched on a small bay in the Catalonian village of Begur. I sit down with partners Ramon and Elizabeth a short while after the celebrations died down.
In our studio, we mainly work in refurbishment, but we have the strong feeling that all we can do as architects is transform. So we always work in something that's pre-existing. We just adapt and transform what's been there before. It can be a building or it can be just a site, a topography, a climate, but we always change things. So this project is somehow a project that's trying to give more strength to the relationship between the building and the sites. that allowed us to study the site and the people and the resources and the techniques that were somehow traditionally present in the place, and trying to learn from them, not to unlearn. That's something that we always try in the studio, not to unlearn from the precedences. So try to adapt them and bring them to contemporary times.
It's a house that is placed right near the sea, and so it's a very delicate location because you are part of the landscape of all the people that enjoy that particular small cove. So what we mainly did was reopen the house to the climate. We always talk about microclimates and microcosms. We say that as architects, what we mainly do is to configure a small climate within the big climate of the universe and a small cosmos within the cosmos. And so what we mainly did was reopen the house, reconnect it. We really broke up walls and we transformed them into huge openings. And if we had to say it in a small phrase, we transformed the house into a porch, mainly. But then, when the house was reconnected again to the outdoors air and to the sea breeze and to the sound of the place and to the sky, what we did is to build a subtile filter that is made out of ropes. Ropes from the fishermen of the place, and where the plants can grow and take the facade. In the end, we hope that it's going to become part of the mountain again.
I would like to add that this is also a very special thing about this edition of the architecture of Biennale in Spain, which is the city, the set in which it took place, La Alhambra and Granada, the city itself. It's an amazing built environment that should remind us that we should be really humbled and be really conscious of not unlearning about the heritage that we have, and try to be humbled with the things that we do in contemporary times, and not having like loud or strong words, instead of learning what's really obviously in front of our eyes.
So with the conversation clearly squared onto smaller scale design, I escape the scorching Andalusian heat and head up north. The Basque Country might be one of Spain's smallest regions, but it has a habit of punching above its weight. El País Vasco has long been one of Spain's industrial heartlands, but a new generation is quietly bringing a fresher, more refined approach to design. I start by grabbing a quick coffee with budding young product designer Silvia Señal in San Sebastian.
People told me, oh, you are from Basque Country, that's good. Because I live here, I don't realize that.
Very humble.
Silvia Señal and her eponymous one-woman product design studio represent the modern face of burgeoning Basque design. Like others of her ilk, she happily manufactures her small collection of furniture and accessories locally, and Basque provenance is always woven into her wares.
For example, I have some designs that are inspired from here. For example, Cupela stool is like a barrel. The name is from Basque Country, and I used to use Basque names to name my piece. Everything that surrounds around me is inspiring, and I live here, so that's the sea, the mountains, or the people, or where I live, that's inspiring me a lot. In my opinion, we have a different character from the north or from the south, I think. I am proud of saying I'm from Basque Country, yes. For example, we are stubborn and we try to do all the things that we want.
Silvia has to get back to her studio to keep the gears moving, and I need to catch a bus to Bilbao, the Basque Country's industrial heartland. The much grittier city has been slowly cultivating its own generation of bullish designers. And inside Azkuna Zentroa, a Philip Stark-designed former factory-turned-cultural centre, I sit down with Ana Roquero, the founder of Cookplay. Her ceramics brand fuses the region's culinary culture with changing modern food habits.
I think, why, if our gastronomy is so creative and so avant-garde, why there isn't any tableware who are in the same mood? So I think about how we eat in today. We eat most of the times alone. We eat standing up. We eat in catering. We eat lying on the sofa. And I think I have to design something for it. That's why the bowl, who is designing to hold in your hand, very ergonomic.
The piece itself has been widely accepted and adopted by some of Spain's Michelin star chefs. It's been sold in some of the best design shops, not just in Spain, but around the world. When you were going around, when you first had this idea and you were showing people this new collection, was the fact that you were from the Basque Country, was that a positive thing? Did that help you?
If I say I come from Bilbao, you can see that everyone now notices that Bilbao has changed a lot. When I began to design, 25 years ago, we have a very industrial city, very industrial industries in all the Basque Country. But we have the chance to work with these companies, you know. Now I think all is new and we have to renew all the relations between designers and companies. I think we are going to be a very good help for them. You have to begin with the big spaces and maybe at the end you can find that things who are intimate, who are from another point, more near the human, you know, are coming now, probably.
Designers like Ana Roquero are breathing new life into the region's industrial fabric. Factories and workshops don't just straddle Basque cities though, they dot the countryside too. In a forest between Bilbao and San Sebastian, I visit Belux, a slick family lighting design firm that beams with well-earned Basque pride.
In the middle of the forest, I usually say that we are on the paradise.
The tree-covered hills outside provide a stark contrast to the busy August factory floor. And while there may not be too many people around these parts, Belux's general manager, Ariette Ibarreche, is convincing me that the world is very much aware of the sounds and lights emanating from this remote location.
Years ago, the Bilbao or Vizcaya, all our region, was identified just like manufacturing. And now I think that it's more identified by the design and the technology. Maybe 15 years ago, many companies, they went to another countries to manufacture in low-cost countries. Now they are starting again to manufacture by own self. And now the industry is growing again. It's really important for our region.
The talented team behind Belux have enlisted some impressive award-winning architects for some of their signature collections, from the late Zaha Hadid to Frank Gehry and Philip Stark. This speaks to the Basque region's enterprising outward vision, an outlook that has allowed many Basque brands to frequently punch above their weight.
I think that our influence with the Nordic culture is huge, okay? So you can feel it on the designs. We are making very clever designs as well as very pure forms. The industry that we have here in the Basque Country is mostly the automotive, the car industry. So all the Germanic influence or the Nordic influence is also coming from there. So it's something that is also in the philosophy of the Basque Country industries, is the export view of the commercial idea of the companies. So this is very important also. When we are designing or when we are creating, we are not creating for certain markets. We are creating for all the world. This is also a different view of the market that we have in our companies.
All this talk of small packages of success doesn't seem to sit well with the current trends in Spanish fashion, namely the celebrated revamp of luxury giant Loewe and the galloping expansion of Inditex. But look a little closer and there are plenty of burgeoning brands growing at their own pace. Surprisingly, many of them are thriving in the slipstream of the fast fashion giant itself. So I head over to Galicia, to the heartland of Zara in A Coruña.
I think it's like a university and they get paid. It's very interesting to spend there even just 1 year. Everybody should do it.
So I'd heard about the transformative effect that the multi-billion euro fast fashion giant was having on Galicia, but speaking to young jewellery designer Cristina Sanchez, I begin to realise that up here, Inditex is the unintentional champion of the little guy.
The brand is Sancerre. It's a mix of my surname and sisters in French, because we started, my sister and me, and we started in 2010.
And then a few years later, it started kind of as a hobby, a love of fine jewellery, but then you were poached by Zara and you started working on the accessories range in Zara.
I don't know if it's exactly like poached by Zara, because they are all the time looking for new people, because people working there is so young, so they used to stay like for 1 year or 2 years and then they look for another job. The best thing is that I started to believe on my project, so that I could live just making this. Because before I had a vision about fashion not very strong to try just to live working on this. And I wanted to live to make just architecture and design. But after Zara, I saw that there were a lot of nice projects that became true. So I thought, okay, I have to try. It was more about believing in my own project.
Christina has been turning heads in Galicia's stalwart jewellery sector, mainly because she's doing something that her local competitors aren't, making sales. She puts it down to her embrace of a predominantly internet retail model and her ability to adapt to ever-changing trends.
Everybody you know here, like the people you go to school with or the people you work with, everybody has someone working for Zara. So it's like the main factory here that gives money to the city. So, and also they bring a lot of interesting people to the city. And also they make these people want to buy new things all the time, not just in Zara. So we need to make new things all the time to give them. So it's completely positive.
Hello, my name is Leticia. The name of my brand is Poe. Poe means pearl in Tahitiano, in Tahiti. I'm based in La Coruña.
Let me stop you there because your relationship with Inditex is actually a little bit more unique. I mean, you worked in Zara in London, you came back to La Coruña to see if you can get a job in Inditex, but you didn't get through, and so you decided, what the hell, I'm just going to start my own brand, and look at you now.
Yes, that's right. In La Coruña, we have the best machines, the best products for this work. Inditex help us. Suppliers knows where is La Coruña. They come to visit La Coruña Inditex, and then we can visit us. We are very small, but then they visit us.
Do you think there's lots of other brands that are doing something similar in La Coruña, picking up on the slipstream of Inditex and benefiting as a result?
Yes, I think that is true. It's true. All the mini brands, it's benefits with Zara.
From inside her repurposed Galician-styled cottage, Leticia Garnello has turned her small women's wear brand into a petite empire of her own.
Tell me as well, how your brand has expanded since the first collection, which I believe was just 3 pieces. Now in 2016, how many pieces are in the collection?
Okay, now we are producing 2,000 pieces. We start with a small collection. I went to the shops and I present my mini collection.
You've just opened a flagship store in La Coruña, your first bricks and mortar store, so things are obviously going well, and you also are going to launch a children's range, so things are looking good, and things aren't so bad here in La Coruña.
Yeah, it's very good, it's very good. Our first shop is very important for us because we win a lot of brand visibility. This is so important for us.
I see you're smiling, so things are looking up.
Yeah.
I head back into the city centre to visit Knitbrary, another brand that has emerged in Zara's shadow. The difference here is that co-founder Yolanda Esteves not only loves a good yarn, she is determined to spin it slowly.
Hello.
First of all, we work with the best yarns around the world. That's our project about, but always work it in the original place. So we create an archive. That means a library, knit and library. That is an archive. We offer all the best jams around the world. And right now we are focused totally in the jams from Peru.
Yeah, and one of the garments that you showed me was one small jumper that took 5 weeks to knit. Yeah. I mean, how difficult is that as a brand to have just one garment that takes 5 weeks? I mean, is that sustainable? Is that part of the joy of the process? Or is that just part of the journey of learning as a young brand as well, that this long production process?
It's something that doesn't exist. So I think that this is something totally different. And when you made something totally different, I think that you have the opportunity to offer something exclusive, unique, and our clients totally appreciate our way to work. It's quite difficult. We must to work even before than the rest of the labels. Vicuña is the only wild animal we work with. The yarn is the most finest yarn around the world. It was a really big deal to have it, but it's an amazing, amazing yarn. To have an idea, you just get 200 grams each 2 years for the vicuña. So it's quite difficult and quite expensive, and it's amazing, the quality. So yeah, it's like liquid.
Tell me what it's like to be a young brand in La Coruña. Are there advantages to being in a small city in the northwest of Spain? Are there advantages being in the shadow of a big company like Inditex as well? Are there disadvantages?
Well, I think that you can right now create a label wherever. But we find that this is a really quiet city. We have a high quality of life. We don't have to pay a lot for this space, for example. Also, I find that this city changed a little bit after the Inditex. This Inditex explosion, yeah. There are many people from overseas in the city and you can feel it,
so,
you know.
So what you're saying is it's created a real design community here, even unintentionally,
totally.
And it's helped your brand.
Yeah, not intentionally, but I used to live here. Why not stay here? When we say that we are a label from Spain and the people immediately ask you what about, and you say from La Coruña, oh my God, you are from the city of the whole Inditex place. Yeah, totally, yeah. But we are totally different.
So as I wind up my sartorial tour around A Coruña, it's heartening to discover a new slant to the mainstream view of this David and Goliath fashion battle. Up here in Galicia, the Davids, or Davids, aren't daunted by the indomitable size of Inditex. Instead, they're cutting out their own unique niches in the market and using the local leader as a way to define their differences and add some bright, promising colour to the burgeoning fashion sector. I end my Pan-Iberian journey in the most unlikely of design destinations. On a narrow, flower-filled cobbled street of Ibiza's old town, a small shop is not just a simple emporium of eccentric clothes and quirky wares, but also an enclave of the island's history as a beacon for Europe's fashion elite. Before the Balearic brand became synonymous with mega clubs, it was a bastion for free-loving hippies and creative minds, and the personification of this spirit is Vicente Ganesha. In his own unique way, he's cultivated a colourful design culture and become an icon in his own right.
Sí, hello.
Hello.
Yes, call me.
No,
I called you before, I called you another time. This is the reason.
Anyone who has had the privilege of meeting Ibicenco icon Vicente Ganesha will know he and his shop are quite a find.
I've been since 1971 in the island and I come from Alicante. I moved here because I discovered it was a place for living, because it was the time to everybody have the spirit to be free and do what they like it, and nobody told what they must do it. So I discovered in one film in Rue de la Canette in Paris, they call Moore, and I find this was a beautiful film in a beautiful place, and I come in here for this reason, to find the landscape and to have the light of the island. I started in 1976 in a multi-mark shops with many names, and after I lost everything in 1991, and I changed it, and I start with second-hand clothes and Indian things.
Full of vintage clothes, rare design wares, and plenty of free-loving spirit, the shop has no pricing regime, guided instead by the whims of Vicente and his propensity to dish out the occasional nice face discount.
And you have many beautiful things here, but do you think people come here as well to buy a little part of Vicente as well?
Yeah. Yeah, the second one. I have beautiful things. Everybody can have beautiful things. I don't know what is beautiful things. And I don't know what is the necessity to have beautiful things. I know what is to talking with people and to stay with them, to be friendly with everyone. Ahora. Adiós.
However, the real treasure trove of fashion and design flourishes lays upstairs in Vicente's two-level apartment, although the challenge is charming him into inviting you up for a tour.
It's not a shop, it's something special for friends or for a person who they like it, but not for everyone.
What is this? What are we looking at
this
here?
This is a Campanario de sedas, de colores de sedas.
It's like a silk sample book.
Yes. And you have also, in different ways, two is more than 100 years old. Oh, no. It's very important for people.
Well, this is in such good condition as well.
Yeah. For example, this also is the piece who I never going to sell it. This is a Mathieu Mategot, the table and the four chairs, who from the 40s, and I find it, I buy it for 100 euros, and they bring me, you know, and it was in a one garden, and the people, they don't know what they have.
Well, let's talk about the photo that Testino took of you, his portrait.
And he liked to make me a picture, and I say, okay, and he told me, take the cloth off, and I say, okay, I don't care, you know. Normally, I go into the nudist beach, I don't care about to show my peanut. So I been in one chair and he make picture and he told me, I make for you, but I must take something. So he take one torero boot fight dress for the change for the picture.
That's a good deal.
Yes, well, it's a good, I don't know, because it, I was supposed it was make more bigger. This is so small, why don't make so important? That's a Mathieu Fitzdestino, or I don't know, Peter Lindbergh, who I have also, whatever. I don't care, I have there. Things like this, I like it. For me, they have a lot of value, more than many, many other things.
Do you feel like this entire collection tells the story of your life?
Yes.
Not just these, like, sentimental...
Yes, it's like the clothes, they have the spirit of you, of course. Yes. I believe it. The philosophy of the things is temporary. It's not important. It's important one moment that you can use in one moment, you can sell it, or you can destroy it, or you can leave it, or you can rent it, you know, you do whatever, but it's not for always, like us, like love, like life, like everything, it's not for always, it's for the moment. Sometimes you like more the moment, and sometimes you don't like the moment, and sometimes you don't like at all, and you have this all around you till you take out and you're broken and you throw it, you know. This is the objects, my philosophy, the objects.
After crisscrossing the nation, Vicente's words about the transient nature of things and a calm Ibicenco beach breeze provide a fitting end to my journey through Spain's burgeoning design posts. From architecture to product design and fashion, there is an upswell of young talent lapping at once traditional shores around the country, and it seems as if there's never been a better time to be a small player and full of promise. And that also seems like the perfect way to throw back to you at Midori House, Josh. So, for Monocle in Spain, I'm Liam Aldous.
And sadly, that's all we have time for on this week's show. My very special thanks to our ever-patient editor, Alex Funnell, the show's plucky producer, Henry Reece Sheridan, and today's roving reporter, Liam Aldous from Spain. If you have any comments, queries, or suggestions, then do feel free to drop Henry a note at hrs@monocle.com. And remember, we're back at the same time next week. You can always listen again or dip into our back catalogue at monocle.com, SoundCloud, or iTunes, and do feel free to leave us a review if it's positive. On the latter. Please also keep an ear out for our new sister show on design, a 5-minute rundown of an idea, place, or person changing the design industry today. That's also available as a podcast. You've been listening to Section D. I'm Josh Fennett. Until next time, thank you very much and goodbye.